Today is the 18th of June, the 10th of Tammuz. We left on Pasuk, we're kind of in Pasuk Gimel, we'll revisit a little bit Gimel. It's interesting, two interesting things that we see there, oh, it's actually three, in that Pasuk. V'rachatz v'sacht, and then the ksiv is v'samti, but the kri is v'samt. So in other words, it's written that I will put, and it's read, you will put. Now, what does that mean exactly, that we have these two different ways to look at that? Often the Kri and Ksiv is just a way of reading it, spelled the same, a different vocalization, but here we actually have a different word. First,
Form is that I'm getting Korean Ksiv sometimes reflects different dialects of Hebrew used in biblical times, and that generally our Korean is usually a Judean dialect, which has a feminine, second person feminine singular as Yoradit, but it was a more northern form, Yoradati. That's just much of a shock.
Good, okay, but here we have this interesting idea. What is it that Naomi is telling Ruth to do? The third thing. She's talking about her garments. And the next word, the kri is v'simlo sayich, and the ksiv is probably v'simlo sach, v'simlo seich, or v'simlo scha, something. It looks to be the difference between a singular and a plural.
Yeah, v'simlo seich.
Right, so if we put those, and there's another word, v'simlo scha, which would be a masculine, v'simlo seich here. So when you put these two words together, we have an interesting possibility. What is it, l'katchila, that she wants her to do? She wants her to put on Big Day Shabbos. She wants her to put on her special clothes. She's getting dressed up. The Rambam tells us that there's three things a person should do Erev Shabbos. They should wash. That parallels Verachatz, the beginning of the Pasuk. Vasacht, that would be anointing oneself before Shabbos. And third, putting on special begodim to greet the Holy Shabbos. She is being told to do all these things to basically greet Boaz, which is going to be the beginning of a union, which is going to result in Malchus. The Malchus of David is going to ultimately come from that union. So this is a very special occasion. It's not exactly clear what she did or didn't expect to happen that night. But we do have the possibility, as Rashi says, that if she were to go completely dressed the way that Naomi wants her to, she might have been thought to be a woman of ill repute. And she would be too fancy to be going around like that. So we have the possibility of this difference between visamt and visamti. Later we're going to see that Ruth says, I'm going to do everything you tell me to do. But it may be it's everything you're going to tell me to do except this. I'm not willing to do this. There's a couple of remuzim in this pasuk that might be the case. Normally, if you're going to see someone telling another person to put on clothes or certain kinds of clothes, you would expect some form of the verb whose shoresh is lamed beis shin, v'lavasht v'hilbasht, something. Instead, she's saying something with the verb lasim, to put. And instead of her Shabbos outfit, she seems to be saying the Kri, at least, is plural of outfits. So think about this, and Farshan tells us it might be this, that Rus was unwilling to do that, and unwilling to go then. For as Rashi says, Haroeh osi yomar shani zona. Someone might see all fancied up. So what Rus was saying is, I'm not going to do it. Naomi understood that. First she was saying, Vesamt, I'm going to put these clothes on you. No, I'm not going to do it. Okay, she says, Vesamt, you put your clothes, plural, on you, and you go down to the threshing floor, the winnowing place. Meaning, literally, put them on you. Take you're wearing your big day chol, put your big day Shabbos al ksefayich on your shoulder, carry them, and then once you get there, then get dressed the way I said.
Does anyone suggest rather than big day Shabbos that it might be big day kawa, that is a remiss she wants to do without him to do the right thing by her?
Then I didn't see, but I did see many places a big day Shabbos. And the Mesilas, the Sefer, the Mesilas Marsha says an interesting story. That the contemporary story. That we believe, we know, that when you put on the Begodim of Shabbos, you have a certain Reach of Shabbos. There's certain thing about putting on your Shabbos clothes that are special. Part of this special Shabbos preparation. So he tells the following story. He says, Shamati me'eis ha'goyen Reb Zalman Rotberg, Zatzal. Shepam k'shayo ha'saba Zatzal, ha'chosid ha'goyen Reb Yechezkel Levenstein, in Petach Tikva. Pagasha Reb Zalman es ha'saba b'Shabbos baderech. So they're taking a walk and they encountered each other. And he said to him, Tareach reach shel Shabbos hashorekan. Smell the reach of Shabbos, which you smell come here. That's something about their Shabbos clothes. And that's the impression, that's what she wanted to generate. Rus, on the other hand, was concerned. That was concerned that there's some level of pritzis or some level of impropriety that would go along with that. So she wasn't going to do it. So she's going to take her clothes with her, and she'll get dressed there. Now that goes along with something else we'll see in a minute. Okay, so she takes the garments, whether she puts them on, however she puts them on, v'yaradet ha-goren, and she will go down to the goren. Once again, we have this v'yaradeti versus v'yaradet. Yaradeti versus yaradet. What does yaradeti would mean if that was the way it was read? It would mean that I am going, that Naomi is going, but Naomi isn't going. Perhaps we could say that the Yerida, going down to the garden, according to Rashi, V'yaradiksiv, S'chusi Teiradimah. My S'chusim will go with you. And as I'm not going with you in actuality, but my schusim will go with you. What schusim does she have? Remember that her late husband, Machlon, was descended from who? Nachshon ben Aminadav, right? He was the grandson of Nachshon ben Aminadav. As was Naomi's father. The schusim that Machlon had, her husband Elimelech, her husband Elimelech, right, was a child that comes from Nachshon, as was Naomi's father. Okay, so they're both from Nachshon. Machlon, Rus's husband, also comes from Nachshon. Obviously, now it's a grandson. And Naomi is also the granddaughter, right? So there's all kind of schusim here. Rus's ex, her widowed, whatever, her late husband, Machlon is from Nachshon. Elimelech is from Nachshon. Father of Naomi is from Nachshon. All these schus avos are circulating here. Why, though, did Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, all who are from Nachshon have so much trouble then in Moab? They have all these great schusim. Because we learn that the Maharsha tells us that when you have the schus avos, you lose them when you go chutz laretz. They lost the schus avos when they went chutz laretz. So when they fled their people and went to Moab, all those privileges, all the merits that would have come from Nachshon, who was first at Kriyas Yamsuf, they lost. Now, they're back. Now they're back. So because they're back, she has those chusim. So she wants to say that my schus avos will accompany you. Truly, and by marriage at least, Ruth also has some of those chusim, right? Because she married into that family. But that's a possible explanation for Yoradit or for Yoraditi, and I will go. Yoradit Yagorin. Al Tivodilo Ish Ad Kaloso Lechov Lishtos. Farshim tell us when it says there, Al Tivodilo Ish, that means to Boaz. Don't let Boaz know that you're there. Similarly, there was a concern that the workers not know that she's there, that she should hide. Malbim says, Shekulam Yachshavu Ki Halacht Leveisich Vateshvi Shamba Seser. So you have to say, let them all think you went home already. No one should know you're there. And wait there. And she's going to wait until what? Until Boaz finishes eating and drinking. Now this pasuk, finishing eating to drinking, which is Gimel, we need to look at it in the context of Zion. So I don't know which book you have in mind, you have to turn the page, but look at pasuk Zion. Vayochal Boaz, vayisht, vayitav liboy. He ate, and he drank, vayitav liboy. There's a couple different thoughts about what vayitav libo means there. So he Naomi knew that after he eats, he'll be in a better frame of mind. He'll be in a better frame of mind. Rashi says vayitav libo means that he was learning. Others suggest the following, vayitav liboy, that after he eats and drinks and learns, he will become in the mood to marry, and whatever that means. Whether he means literally getting married that night, acquiring her that night in whatever fashion. And where do we get that from? Vayitav liboy. We know they have a famous mimer, Matza Isha, Matza Tov. So Vayitav Liboy, he's now in the state of mind of Tov.
And it reminds me of Isaac telling Esau to go out so he can eat and then he'll be...
In the mood to give him a bracha. Yeah. Right. Okay, then, so back to where we were. She says, don't tell anybody until he finishes eating and drinking. V'hi v'shachvoy. When he lies down, v'yodata samakem asher yishkav sham. You will know the place where he has chosen to lie down. Why? Because it's the place where he was learning. And you will feel the kedusha in that place. And you will know where you should be. Here, however, we have in this pasuk again, we have another kriyan kesiv. This time, it says vishachaft, and you will lie down there, and the kesiv is vishachafti. Okay, so we're back and forth with the kriyas and the kesivs as to which way they go. This time, v'shachavti has a different implication. when Ruth received her original instructions from Naomi prior to her conversion, she emphasized so strongly the prohibition against yichud, not living and sleeping in a place where there is a man, the direction to modesty, to conducting herself with a level of propriety. How did we learn that before? No yichud, it said, Basher talini alin. Right? We learned that from the answers that Ruth gave, we were able to see what exactly Naomi had said to her. So we work backwards. When we said, Basher talini alin, wherever you lie down to sleep, I will lie down to sleep, it must have been that Naomi said to Ruth, don't sleep in a place where there's a man, or words to that effect. Now, after giving a whole kala shmooze, about not being immodest, not going to a place where there's a man, not lying down, not sleeping where there's a man in a house alone, she's telling her to do what? All those things. Ruth is troubled by this. So much so that we just learned a few minutes ago that perhaps she wouldn't even get dressed the way she told her to. She said, I'll do it, but I'm going to kind of do it the way I wanted to do it, and I'll get dressed there. So here, v'shochavt, or the ksiv v'shochavti, Rus promised her, originally what? Ba'asher talini alin. I will promise you that I will not lie down, I will not sleep, I will not be alone with the man. I'm going to sleep where you're going to sleep. So if Naomi says, as we have in this pasuk in the Kri, in the Ksiv rather, Vishachavti, it's a place where I will lie down. Oh, Ruth is okay. It's a place where you will lie down. It's okay for me to lie down. So that justified at least, or was consistent for Ruth, the original instructions that she received from Naomi. Then she goes and she knows the place. She uncovers his feet. What is this uncovering his feet about? Where does this come from? The Mekubalim tell us that when a person dies without children, that he is like a person without shoes. How is that? It says in Kabbalah that the guf is the shoe, sandal, of the neshama. That the neshama, just like a guf can't stand in this world without shoes, you can't walk in dirty places, in places that are sharp things or hot or cold, without shoes, can't walk through the mud without shoes, just like the guf can't go in this world without shoes, the neshama can't go without a guf. The guf is the shoe for the neshama. Now, this person who dies has no grounding, if you will, no place that he can be at rest, because the guf has no place, neshama has no shoes, no body now. And the neshama, we say, is mekashkeshes b'ishtoi, is tumbling with against his wife, is now a widow, that she never gave him a offspring, and that his name is not going to be lost and blotted out. However, when Yibum occurs, it's like the nefesh of that deceased person now has a shoe again, now has a place again. his name will be restored. They're going to call the child on his name. They're going to attach the fields and all the property to the deceased. So it's like he came back into this world. And we know that's really what happened here. Because when Oved, not that this is official Yibum, it's not, but that when Oved came into this world, the product of the union between Boaz and Ruth, what did they say about him? Bein Yulad Linami. That this is who? Machlon is back. Machlon is back in this world. Bein Yulad Linami. It's not Nami's kid, it's Ruth's kid. So Machlon is back. So Oz Yesh LaNefesh HaMeis Nal. So there's a shoe. There's a place for the guf to stand in the Olam HaGufim now. Now we see this whole connection. What happens at Chalitza? What do they do at Chalitza? Yeah, I don't know if anyone ever saw it, but you know what happens there. At Chalitza, they take off the sandal, the strap, the shoe. They take it off. Meaning that neshama, another world, unfortunately, is now left shoeless. Right? What does shoeless mean? No place to stand, no goof. When she says, when Naomi says to Rus, go there, and when you are there, what do you have to do? Ubas, you'll be laying down there. Gilis margalosov. Uncover his feet or his foot. Right? Reminisce to remind him, oh, there's a situation here. It's not technically Yibum, right? It's not Yibum. It's not Yibum because this is not a brother. But there's a situation here. And there's a neshama out there that doesn't have a shoe. Your foot is uncovered here to remind him. We know that there's no technical Yibum if it's not brothers. And this is a specific request of Rus. Be part of the Geula here, the redemption of the fields, and marry me as well. Just jump ahead a little bit. There's in Pasuk Tes, Rashi says it specifically. Ki goel ato, she says to him, you're the goel after all. Ligol nachlas ishi, to redeem the nachla of my late husband, as it says in the Pasuk in Vayikra Chafai, we looked at a few weeks ago. Ba goel akore velo, ve goel, the Chamaisi Vani, we, Srichas Mekor Nachlasenu, we have to deal with these fields. Via Lecha, you have to buy them. Knei Gam Osi Imo. Acquire me too. Not that Yibum requires you to. Acquire me too. She Yiskor Shem HaMeis Al Nachlasei. Ikesh Ovo Al Asade Yomru Zos Eishes Machla. People will refer to her later as Ashes Machlon. That doesn't seem like a particularly romantic proposal to him. Yeah, marry me so that later on everybody can refer to me as the wife of Machlon. But this tells us what this is about in taking, uncovering his feet, showing his feet. He says, "V'shachavto kesam deva hu yagilach esa sher tasin," and he will tell you what you should do. Now we have another Kriyan Ksiv. Vatomre leho, kol asher tomri elai ese. And the elai is written, it is read, but not written. What does elai mean? Right, to me, referring to her. Rus was so completely humble, and she was completely devoted to her mother-in-law that there was no such thing as Eli. Nothing was hers. She regarded herself, she is secondary. Naomi is primary. So she's prepared to have it say Vatomer Lev, call a share Tomrius, whatever you say, I'll do. Don't even inject, there's no me, don't worry about me. Whatever you say, I'll do. So it's a very humble statement on her part. Problem is, she didn't do everything she said. Right? We're back to our question about getting dressed home or get dressed for the date at home, or did you get dressed for the date in the bathroom in the hotel of the date? So what happened? She didn't get dressed there. She got dressed in the Goren. And we see another hint to that in the next pasuk. Vateret ha-goren. Okay, so now she goes down to the Goren, the threshing floor, the threshing place. Vatas kechol asher tzivata chameso. And then she did everything that the mother-in-law told her, right?
The ksiv is below. That also may be a remez. Not exactly the instructions.
The ksiv is...
below?
No, kri velo ksiv.
We read the lines again.
It's kri velo ksiv. So think about that. He says she went down to the... and then she did everything the mother-in-law told her. She didn't dress back there at the other place. She did it there. So what is Tomri? What Zman is that? Future. Right? Tomri is future. And Farshim want to say that when she says here is, Kol asher Tomri asa. Everything that you say to me from here on, I will do. I'm not going to do what you just told me. I'm not going to dress in a way that people will think I'm a Zoyna or something. That's Rashi's words. I'm not going to dress like that here. But you've already said that. Everything that you say from here going forward, kol asher tomri, everything you tell me to do from now on, I will do. And this nicely ties in the whole thing of Asamt and Simlo Sayach, that she was prepared and Veshachavt. Everything you said is fine, but I can't bring myself to do that piece. But from here on, I'll do everything else. I won't go into the place where he is until after he finishes eating. I won't let him know it's me until after he's eating. I'll make sure no one knows where I am and so forth and so on. But this one little thing I can't do. Vateret ha-goren, and she went down there. Vatas kechol asher tzivata chameso, and she did everything that her mother-in-law had told her. Then we have the rest of the pasuk we mentioned a minute ago. Vayochal Boaz vayesht vayitav liboy. One of the mefarshim says, and they base it on the targum on this pasuk, that Boaz ochel midei masika. He ate some sweet things, and he had not eaten anything sweet, anything special, since the Ra'av, since the famine began. And this is the night when Boaz praises God for the end of the famine, for the end of the Ra'av, and this is why he's eating Masika for the first time. How do we know this? We know this from that the Targum on that pasuk, Zion. Va'achal Boaz v'shasa ve'etav libe. He ate, he drank, and he was happy, whatever. Uvrishmod Hashem. And he blessed God, Dekabel Tzloise, who had accepted and fulfilled his, meaning Boaz's prayers, Va'ade Kafna min Arad Yisrael, V'yasa L'dimacha B'star Emosa. God had answered his prayers, and he had ended the Rav, the famine. He went to sleep near the pile of grain, and then, of course, Rus is there, and she uncovers his foot. Boaz was so, even Boaz himself was fine, right? He had all what he wanted. He was the leader. He had food. He had everything. He was so concerned with the people, that he would not allow himself to eat anything special, anything sweet, calls man that the people were suffering. But tonight he wants to say, blessed is God, praised is God who answered my prayer and who has taken away the famine. Okay, so we'll stop there. So remember, next week we're going to be meeting Wednesday and Thursday for the next few weeks.